Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm good to be here today. I'm blessed. Worship was amazing. You know, this year when the year started, I wanted to do something very different. I wanted a game changer prayer. So one of the things that I challenged myself about was to wake up every morning and go outside and pray for an hour. So I wake up every morning between, it's nice now that the sun rises early, so I wake up around 5. So from 6, I go out, pray for an hour. I started praying in tongues, and then it was very exciting, and I realized, let's just spice it a bit. Let's greet somebody. Whoever I'll meet, I'll say good morning. If they respond, I'll bless them. If they don't, I'll bless them. You know the excitement that this brings to my heart. If somebody responds back, guess what? A couple weeks ago, even if I'm walking on the other side of the street, I get people saying, good morning! You know, they know me now. And the other thing, the other day was, somebody said, you are late today. I was like, we're doing it. So I've seen the power of prayer. Some of them, they don't know me, but wherever they are, some of them, I see them in the shops, they'll start waving and excited. That brings joy into my heart. Where I work, we do share good practices. Behind the notes of the preaching this morning, there is an assignment for you. You need to find somebody in church. I don't have the notes with me. Let me share. You need to find somebody who has lived in another country. Get their name and their contact number. Somebody who works in any industry, somebody who is studying, just put their names and their phone numbers. Somebody who speaks two languages. This is to get to speak to anyone. You have to find these people around here. Write their names. We need to start praying for them. Let's see what God does. Amen. Today I'll be sharing with you in the book of Acts. This really excited me when they asked me to talk about a community devoted to hospitality. This is so exciting. I'll be reading from Acts 2:46 and Acts 4:32. I'll start with Acts 2:46. It reads, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Acts 4:32, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of their position was theirs, but they shared everything they had. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father God, this morning we decree so that you may increase. Would you open our hearts? Would you challenge us? Would you encourage us? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I decided to have a look in the dictionary what hospitality means. Here is what I found. Hospitality is the ministry to provide a welcoming environment of love, acceptance, comfort, support, care, and unity for visitors, members, guests, and friends, in order to enhance their worship experience, encourage fellowship, and help build a community of believers. How amazing. I used to think hospitality is about cooking food for people and make them happy, and that's all about. But I was so amazed what it carries. There is loads. If you can cook, you can support them, you can care for them, you can comfort them, you can accept them. There is so much, there is something for each and every one of us. Hospitality is not about the size of our houses, but the size of our hearts. It's not about extending, it is about extending the welcome of God that our lives have received, and it is open to all. It is colorblind. Everyone can get it, anywhere. It is extended to the poor, to those who cannot even return the invitation, to the stranger, the refugees, and to those who need care and shelter, the Good Samaritan. It is, in times of the plague, it was the church who cared for the sick and the dying. And often the cost of hospitality lives across social, economic, ethic, and age barriers. It is a powerful witness to the me-first culture. The two scriptures that we have read, there are four lessons that I learned from those scriptures, and I want to share with them to you today. And one of them, the church in Acts was a learning church. They devoted themselves every day. I don't know whether I can do church every day, but every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. How amazing. Learning church provides an accessible entry point for education in Christian discipleship and ministry. When I was a new Christian, in 1992, before I could even dreamt of that I would be a Christian, 1992, there was a movie called Sarafina. I don't know if anyone has ever watched it. It was a movie done after apartheid, where they killed a lot of young people that rose against apartheid. They killed a lot of young people, and that really got into me. I was very, very upset. It really got my heart, and I became angry. Very, very angry person with the white people that did it. But I didn't choose who it was as long as you were white. I was so limited with the way I was seeing things. 1997, I moved to South Africa. Very angry with that. It's something that really stayed in my heart. How can they do that to children? You know, they didn't have guns, they were fighting with stones. So that really set into my heart. And guess what? I like God's sense of humor. The church where I got saved, our pastor was white. How amazing. You know, but at the time, I didn't care what color he was because I wanted to see the man that called my name. I wanted that man. And because of his sense of humor, a few weeks later, one guy came up, very huge. He was white, his skin was very hairy. He had a watch, and you couldn't see his watch because it had sunk into the hairy skin in his... And he stood up. That guy was saying his testimony. And part of his testimony was he was appreciating what God has done, but also he asked for forgiveness. He was one of the Bristol police. If Bristol police took your family member, you prepare for the worst. And he stood there and asked for forgiveness. The minute he mentioned that he was from Bristol police, the pastor sat down because he knew the anger that he had stirred at that moment. The pastor sat down. There was a minute silence. No drum rang, nothing, no noise. After a minute, I saw a dark cloud from both aisles going down. That man, after he asked for forgiveness, he dropped the mic and knelt down, he started crying. I could see a cloud of people on both aisles going down there. These were black guys that stood up and went to him and lifted him up and prayed with him. It broke something in my heart. That anger that I had, the lie that the devil had, by watching, I was even not connected to any of those people. They stood him up. They prayed with him. I learned the power of forgiveness. I learned that God is able to do the imaginable. He's colorblind, I call him. This was a learning church. Every Wednesday we met. I went to call the lady. He was like mentoring me. It was discipleship. That Sunday, I rang her. I said, what I saw, what was that? Because it did something in my heart. Can you tell me more about it? I wanted that. Because the anger, the lie that I had believed that white people are bad. No, it's just those few. It's a handful. There are bad people in life. But it's not all of them. Guess what? The parents that adopted me, guess what color they are? Very proud of them. That's my God. We need to be a learning church. The second point, it was a loving church. All the believers were in one. All believers were in one heart and mind. A loving church is defined by the quality of caring, not the formalities of their greeting. A home where one's fears, joys, yearning, and aspirations can be shared without fear of condemnation and rejection. A supportive community to those who are struggling. A place for friends who can be trusted, depended upon, and enjoy it, and who share the same goal. Where God's love is experienced in a concrete way through his people. Where imperfections are accepted and people discover their greatest potential. Where people are open and honest together without fear of being judged. Where distinctions of personal rights, possession, thoughts, emotions, and actions are secondary to a commitment to each other and the kingdom of God. Where people laugh with others, not at others. Cry with others, not because of others. Forgive others and are forgiven by others. Love others and are loved by others. Are you ready for this? I have experienced love. I don't know about you. I want to share a testimony about my family, my CCL family, when we were getting married. It was a happy and a sad moment for us. Kevin lost his mom on the 16th of October. We got married on the 22nd of October. So it was really hard for him. And when the brother rang, the first thing he told Kevin was, "Mom has passed away, but God has given you a new mom. So don't worry about mom. So you stick to the mom that you have now, you know." And on the preparation of our wedding, my family stood up for us. Kevin and his grooms were supposed to book hotels so that they can stay in, so that we can meet in church. Guess what? Andrew and Carol said, "We've got a bigger house. We're going to accommodate all of them." All the women in our church rose up. Those who can bake, baked. We had dessert. I can't wait to show you. Can you please put the next screen? This is my family where I was born. That is my mom. She passed away, bless her. This is my brothers and sisters. This is the family that I was born to. A family of six. Dad had passed away at this time. So it was just the six of us. Next one. This is my new family. This is my new family. My wedding, even my friends still speak about it because of the love that my family has shown. And the next thing that I want to share with you that I've learned from those two scriptures, it was a worshiping church. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and ate together. Their worship was both formal and informal. It took place both in the temple courts and in their houses. Why do we worship? To remember God. We worship God and his creation, and to be thankful for the sacrifices of Christ that provides our salvation. It is commanded by Christ. It declares fellowship and unity. It prevents forgetfulness of what Jesus did for his people. It proclaims Jesus' death and the way of salvation. It proclaims Jesus' return, he's coming back. The breaking of bread together literally means becoming one in Christ. Unbreakable bond, not just one another, but also with God. You know, when Rich said you should remember, I remember where God has taken me from. He died so that I can be accepted. He was rejected so that I can be accepted. There is so much that is done for me. I have a family. People used to say I'm an orphan. I am not. I'm here to correct them that I am not an orphan. I have a mom and dad. God is there for me. The next point that I want to share with you, it was joyful and reverent. Described as having glad and sincere hearts. Since God has sent his son into the world and has now sent them his spirit, and they had plenty reason to be joyful. Plenty reason to be joyful. We are better together. Together we stand. We all got our own strengths and weaknesses, but we all come together. We are stronger together. Reverence is honor and respect that is felt naturally, deeply, and it is outwardly demonstrated. Joy is gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing him every day, in every aspect, in our decision making, in our actions, in our behavior, and communication with him daily. He is the foundation of our life. Nothing happens without him. What does this mean to us today? You might be here like me that was angry because you watched the movie. You didn't know the meaning, anything behind it. There might be things, altars that have been raised of anger, of not being accepted, of being rejected. But God is here saying, come to me, I'll give you rest. Where does it start? It all starts with your story. We all got a story. What about your story? You can tell somebody your story and they can want to know who God is. What have you received from God that you want to share? What has God done for you that you want to pass it on to somebody else? Where do you need God to draw close and take you to a place of selflessness? This is what I want to leave you with you today. Before I pass on to Rich, I want to pray for us. Dear Lord, we come before you naked. You know us. You know the number of our hairs in our heads. You know what makes us happy. You know what makes us sad. We can hide from people, wear masks and be all that. But before you, Lord, we can come as we are. And this morning we say, Lord, have your way. We want to know you in the power of your resurrection. We have heard that people were being saved when they received power of the Holy Spirit. Fill us anew, Lord. We want more of your Holy Spirit. Re-anoint us, O God. For those that don't know you, Lord, help them to make that decision that they want to try you. Let them try. Let them come and see what the Lord has said. I love the story of a man that was speaking a lot of different things against the Lord. And one old man was eating an apple. When he had finished eating an apple, he said to the man, can you tell me how this apple tastes? And the man said, how will I know when I didn't eat the apple? It is the same to those that don't know you. May they try you. May they come and taste how amazing, how wonderful, how forgiving, how awesome you are. Your love does not seek anything in return. Father, we are so humbled by your grace. We thank you, Father God. Would you mold and make us, oh God? This is what we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.